am broken, I am encouraged. Been cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in Harvest Word Assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
Hallelujah. I want us to just bless the name of the Lord this morning. Just thank God for an opportunity to be in His presence. Just appreciate Him. Father, we thank You. We give You all glory. We give You all honor. We bless Your name this morning. Be Thou enthroned. Be Thou magnified. Be Thou enthroned. Be Thou magnified. Be Thou enthroned over our challenges. Be Thou magnified over our problems. For in Jesus' blessed name we pray. Please take your glorious seat as you celebrate God. Take that glorious seat as you celebrate God. Hallelujah. Quickly, I just want to thank God for this awesome privilege to bring His word to us this morning. It's an awesome and it's a privilege, and I appreciate God for that. Quickly, let's quickly turn our Bibles to Numbers 11. Numbers 11. I'll read from 11 to 17. And also, we can also turn our Bibles, others can turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. So Numbers 11, 11 to 17, quickly. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore had thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? That thou layest the burden of all these people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in my bosom as the nursing father beareth a sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Verse 13. When should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Let me not see my destruction. Let me not see the point at which I have no dime in my account. Let me not see the point at which things are so bad for me. Take me away from this earth. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto me, unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. Verse 17. He said, I will come down and talk with thee, and I will take off the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee. And thou beareth not thy burden alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So quickly, let me just read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He said, there had no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Can you echo to somebody? Say, God is faithful. I didn't hear that. Say, God is faithful. Who will not allow you to suffer? Who will not allow you to suffer? Who will not allow you? Okay, we will not allow you to suffer or be tempted above what you are able, but will, with the temptation also, make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. Title of this message is, I have what it takes, I am able. Hallelujah. Say to somebody, I have what it takes, I am able. You know, it's so easy and it's so nice for us to predict where we are going to be in 20 years' time, right from secondary school, right from our first, our year one, or by the time I graduate. There are these foreign courses I have to do, project management, NIM, name it. By the time I'm done with them, 4 certificates. oil company. I work in NASCO. Just name it. It's so easy for us to say, I'm the right man for the job. I'm the right woman for the contract. It's so easy for us to say, name and claim, declare and take, until life shows up upon you. Until the harsh realities of life hit you. I was discussing with the brother yesterday. He told me he was one of the best graduate students in their class. He got into school 3 years after his younger brother got into school. So he vowed that he's going to do better. And he was one of the best. But no stable job. And he got complaining. And I said, okay, that's the confirmation for the message that God has given me this morning. No job. And he has been wallowing and paddling. How much more the pressures upon his family, on him? Pressures for money, pressures for finances. And sometimes people call you that they want to speak to you, and you know that that call is money, and you just ignore that call. It's natural. You just ignore the call. You don't want to talk to them because it is too much. So Moses was at this point in time was at a close point of giving up. Hallelujah. He was at a close point of saying, I can't take this anymore. Hallelujah. But God has something special for him. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you have 7 issues eating you at the same time. You know, not like in the karat films where I imagine, why don't these karat guys come 10 people at once? You see the Chinese guy, one will come, ow! And immediately he hits one, the actor hits one, the next one come, and they come one after the other. But this time life pushes these challenges to you at once. How do you deal with that? If they come one after the other, you can strategize and plan. We have some strategies in this place. They can train you, strategize and plan and tackle those things 1 month after the other. But things just hit you. Your business just, one thing just happened in your business, and for 5 days you are shut down. It didn't give you 1 week shut down, next week shut down, but 5 days you are shut down. How do you pick up? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now about the scriptures in Numbers in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. About that scriptures, Paul was admonishing the church, because at that time, these guys came out from their old lifestyle into being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. And they were used to their whole old lifestyles. Their beliefs were set. Their mentality was already fixed. Immorality was, was gaining ground. And Paul had this word for them. They had no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. So Paul said, if you think you are the only one that is experiencing this, because that was what you have been experiencing before, go to Ephesus. There are other folks too experiencing the same thing. But such as is common to man, but God, the good news is that God is faithful. Hallelujah. And he is the chief designer. He is the chief architect. Hallelujah. I can remember when we were building the church in Port Harcourt, the headquarter, a waterlogged, large, massive land. Everybody was afraid. The bishop said, we can do this. Only one man, the architect. That one came because he is the architect. He understands the terrain. He understands the waterlogged land. He understands what we are going to put here that is not going to sink. And after the building was erected, people were saying, why don't bishop put a gallery here? They did not understand. But the architect had to explain to some folks that care to understand that this ground cannot take this kind of building. So God that has designed you, as you have been divinely, designed by him, understand what you can take per time. He understands, he configured you. So you understand the challenges that he will give to you, and you will stand, and you will not fall. So he's saying, I am faithful not to give you something that will draw you back to your vomit. He's not an unfaithful God. So he's saying that whatever I bring to you is something that you can swallow, is something that you can absorb, is something that you can take in. And it makes you better going forward. So I want to say this, because it happens in the church a lot. It happens in the church. Somebody makes Brazilian hair and he comes to church. The next sister says, can't you see the hair Reverend Ojo's wife is putting on? I want that hair. What Reverend Ojo's wife is going through, if God brings it to you, you will fall flat. Hallelujah. This Reverend Ojo I'm talking to you, I just mentioned it. I didn't pick it. I didn't know. But he had everything, but he battled for over 25 years to get one child. But God is faithful, and God gave him the child. So if you look at Reverend Ojo, or you look at
any other person and you say, I want to be like this guy. And God is looking at you, can you carry it? Because the way I configured you, I didn't configure you for. So, I'm using this to say that as a church, we should be content with what we have. As a body of Christ, thank God that you are not this other person. Thank God for what he has given unto you. Hallelujah. No, it's a big problem. It's a big problem in the church. He didn't say that you won't be tempted above your comfort. He didn't say you won't be tempted above your convenience. No. He didn't say so. This temptation is going to stretch you. It's going to try to bend. You know how we used to do those things? It's going to try to bend and shake you. But God will not allow your back to put your background, rather to put your back on the ground. He won't. That's why he said, for God. So this Corinthian church, they've been battling things. And Paul came with that word. For God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So there is something that you are able to carry. Say to somebody, I am able. Say, you are not sure. Say to the next person, I am able. I've got what it takes. Hallelujah. The faithful God knows your ability because he designed you. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, quickly. So when God says you can bear it, it's not a word of encouragement. That scripture, I didn't come to just tell you. I'm enforcing it on you. It's not a word of encouragement. Say, brother, it is well. No. It has been well before you were created. It has been well before your mother even thought of conceiving you. Hallelujah. I learned some things from pastor. He didn't know I follow him. Me, if I want to follow you, I can follow you under the chair. If you like, enter under your mother's bed. I was following pastor secretly. He said something in the beginning of my meeting him. He was trying to explain Genesis chapter 1. And he was saying, the Spirit of the Lord hovers upon the face of darkness. He said, darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of the Lord, the pastor did something like this, was, ooh. I never understood that scripture until he had to demonstrate. So as a teacher, I learned to always demonstrate so that people can really grasp. Because we have different style of learning. We have the vague learners, we have the auditory learners, we have the kinesthetic learners. Some people learn by just seeing. Some people learn by feeling. Some people learn by auditory, that is hearing. So a good teacher should be able to balance that. So I learned a lot from pastor when he was saying the earth was without form and the Spirit of the Lord were just going and putting things in order. So even before the Spirit of the Lord did that, God has already known that, son, you are going to be in so-so and so-so bank. Even if the bank does not take you, I have a better place for you. So you don't need to worry. Am I saying something? You don't need to worry, because one of the things the devil brings to us is worry. One of the things the devil brings to us is discouragement. One of the things the devil brings to us is to assess, you know. So you have to even be careful. Some people will just come and say, why is your house like this? Why is your house like this? Your husband cannot do this. Your husband, if you notice friends that come to your house, especially newly wedded couples. I'm sorry, I'm not wedded, but I have some revelation by inspiration. Especially newly wedded couples. People come into your house and they say, can't he buy a bigger phone? Chase them out. Chase them. Say, you are not my friend. Chase them out. Delete your number. Why is this thing like this? You are just wedding and you are self-contained. Is that how you want to start your life? Chase them out of your life. Because they are going to destroy your faith in God. Because what God designed for you is that you are going to start small, but you will not remain small. You can't remain small. It's an aberration. It's against the word of God for you to remain small. I'm working with time, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil has lost from the beginning. And he knows. Praise the Lord. So, now, the architect has designed the building. And he knows the kind of weight that can stand on that building. So when they wanted to build the other wing of the church, that's the toilet facilities. Permit me to say that we are getting there. Because the toilet facility is as big as this whole building. We are getting there. Amen. I told pastor that God is giving us a land. I don't know how it's going to come, but it's going to come. Now, when they were about to build the toilet facility, they waited until they finished the building. So the architect was still checking, will this soil be okay for this toilet facility? And they had to do a lot of sand filling. That was a process. They had to do a lot of sand filling. So most times, God begins to check you to know, if I give this guy 5 million naira now, will he
miss church or service and say, oh, I have 5 million naira. Okay, I can watch online. I can buy MB of 20,000 naira. He knows the configuration of your heart. He knows, you know, like the chromosome. Whatever the DNA, whatever you are going to be in 20 years' time is encoded in the chromosome. How you are going to metamorphose into, you know, an elegant Jesus lady is already inside of you. So God knows. So if he say, if I give this guy a contract, if I keep giving him a contract of 50,000, 50 million rather, will he one day sit down and cross his leg and say, I mean, he's a pastor in church, but today, let my assistant take over. Let me sit down. I'm just tired. I'm busy. I've been working all Monday to Saturday. I'm busy. And you buy 50,000 or 20,000 naira MB out of the money he has given to you. So God cannot be happy with that kind of development. Hallelujah. So he is faithful. He will not give you what you can't bear. You are wired differently. I've said that. You are a divine design. I've said that. What I want to say is that you are too connected to be frustrated by whatever the enemy brings. You are too fortified to fail. You are just too fortified to fail. At the point at which you want to give up, tell yourself, I am too defended to be a victim. Job was supposed to be a victim. Job was supposed to be a victim. I love the story of Job. He was supposed to be a victim. Imagine a man that lost everything in just, let me not say one day. Let me just, for myself, let me say maybe 1 week or 1 month. You are there, they just call you, pah. Your container in China. 5 of them just sank. I see that, you get another call. Nobody is calling you to say, how are you doing? Or come, let me take you out. You're just getting bad news, you know, consecutively. How do you think that man can stand? So Job got all of these, and he was still standing. He said something. He didn't say it in the Bible. He said it to me when I was studying the Bible. He said, my condition cannot tamper. Rather, my conviction cannot tamper with my condition. Hallelujah. I'll take it again. My condition cannot tamper with my conviction. So you see a Christian where small trouble beats you and he just sit down in the house and say, I'm not going to church today. And we have a Job that devil showed up and said to God. No, God said to devil, he said, have you seen my servant Job? Have you been walking to and fro the earth? Have you considered my servant Job? He's still standing. And the devil said, is it because you have built a hedge around him? Remove that hedge and he will curse you. Take it away and he will curse you. Even the wife said, that is why a man should train his wife. Train your spouse. Train. It's fight, fight, break. Even if you put your leg inside the box, padlock your leg. I will bring out that leg and I will step on it. I must always step on your foot, though, if you are not going to move. If you like, I will bring it and step on it. Because I have to train your friend, whatever you are doing business with. I'm talking about partners now. So it's not limited to just spouse. Business partners, because when you say you want to go somewhere and, you know, your business partner is dragging you to this other side and you are moving with this other rope. So the wife said, boy, curse God now. Hallelujah. That's not my point of emphasis. I'm just trying this to say that Job stood. I don't know what he had on his inside, but God that configured him knew from the beginning that this is, if God gives me that thing, I will just die. Me. But he knew that this is what I will give to Job, and Job will stand. So I don't strive to become a Job. I want to be a Bara. Let God bring what he will bring to me, and he knows my configuration. See, I will not give you what you cannot bear. Some of us here are going to be, whether you like it or not, some people are raising autistic children. Some people are raising children that are deaf. Some people are raising children that are blind. Not because not because they did anything wrong to God, but God knows that they can carry it. God will not give you a blind child when he knows that you are going to sorrow all through your life. And you are going to be bitter all through your life. So whatever position, whatever situation you are faced with, know that the chief architect which has designed you from the beginning knows your frame and he knows that you can carry it. Hallelujah. I want to say to this, you know, glorious people, House of Judah, when the ministry was going on, it has come before, but I felt a very strong nudging. God is saying that you are not a local choir. You are an international choir. I'm saying this to this group too, because they are wonderful. But God is taking you guys places. But what the Lord said in the service was, what is going to hamper that is disorganization. When you are not disorganized, it doesn't matter the leader. Pastor B of blessed memory said something. He said the firstborn must not necessarily be the one that came out first. The firstborn is the one that carries the inheritance. So a leader can be there, but you are, you know, leveraging on the strength of your team, and you become a strong force. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's not just the head. No. Hallelujah. Okay, quickly. Let me just jump to Moses because of time. Now let's talk about the man Moses. Moses was dealing with people that he didn't understand anymore. Oh, Moses, give us fish. I don't want roasted fish. I want fried fish. I don't want this kind of fish. I want neither data fish. Give me this. Give me that. Moses strikes the rock and water comes. And no, I don't want water. I want milk. I want red wine. It was too much for this guy to bear. It was too much. Today, I don't want rice. I want fried rice. I want amalaya. You can imagine that situation. That was what Moses... You don't understand because you don't understand. I told God to put me. See, I didn't do anything. I just pray. Blah, 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 blah. I just they pray in tongues. Because this inspiration must come. Okay, I can't explain this thing. I can't. So, this guy was dealing with complaints that he cannot... If a father can provide for his son, why will he bother? Am I saying something? If a father can provide for his son, why? So, Moses was dealing with things that were beyond his capacity. He was dealing with things that was beyond his ability. Moses was a man that saw the burning bush and the mighty act God did. And God sent him to Egypt. He saw greater things than how much more this Moses is now, you know, complaining to God, if it's possible, just kill me. But when he got to deal with the people in life, he asked to ask God, what did I do wrong? So the people in life are wired to frustrate you. Your boss in the office, your colleague in the office, they are wired to frustrate your effort. I went into Fidelity Bank and two ladies were quarreling over my head. No, don't worry, don't think it that way. They were quarreling. I said, okay, don't worry, forget the money. But I will ask for my money later, just for the peace to reign that time. I said, don't worry. You know, this other person will... I said, don't worry, just forget. Because, in fact, I don't know who was... I don't know. I don't even know what to say to two of them at that moment. But I just wanted peace to reign. So you can imagine how people want to frustrate your effort. The little grace that you are gathering, you come to church Sunday, you are gathering, you are putting them inside Kokom and lock them, and somebody will just come and want to frustrate it for everything. You don't curse that person. Adeboye said something. When they organized a youth conference, he was asked to organize the youth conference. Then the father and the Lord was still alive, and the man asked him to organize the conference. And he organized the conference. It was a successful conference, a very successful one. And people went at his back to say all sort of things that he didn't do. And his father and the Lord called him, you know, called him, just the way Ego and Pastor Benga, they are very tight. If Pastor Benga is not around, Ego, and I just go and blackmail Ego. And Pastor Benga, you don't even bother to call him. He just said it straight. For this thing you have done, this is the result. This is the punishment, rather. And Adeboye was saying, in fact, if this is what Christianity is, I'm not doing it again. Before he became what he is today, in one of his men, he said, if this is what Christianity is, God, I am not interested. And the Lord spoke, because God will wait until the oil in you drips out. He will now show up to let you know that he is faithful. So Adeboye was at that point of going back. God now spoke to him in his car. And God said, have I ever disappointed you? He didn't answer. God asked him again, have I ever disappointed you? And he said, no. He was now saying, God, don't you see this? Don't you see that? And the Lord still continued to say, have I ever disappointed you? So God taught Moses something. God taught Moses how to delegate. In that scripture, he said,
I will bring it. God took of the spirit of Moses, not the Holy Spirit. Please read that scripture well. Not the Holy Spirit. He took of the spirit of the leader and placed it into those 70 men. So Moses has such strong capacity to be divided into 70 men. And he never knew. So Moses had all these on his inside to be shared. Count it. One, echo, meji, meta. To 70 men. And those men ran with that tenacity of purpose, that sense of responsibility as Moses was running. There was not any man that ran in a shorter measure. No. Scripture didn't record that. Hallelujah. So before we give up, we think twice. Before you give up, you think twice. Hallelujah. I'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Please, I want us to open our Bibles and let's see together. Okay, thank you, Jesus. 2 Say to your neighbor, I am able. I have what it takes. Before you go out in the morning, it's like irrational, you know, cognitive therapy. Before you go out in the morning, most times just say some confessions. Because I declared towards last week, this last week it's a week of order in my business. A week of order, sorry, in the business I run with my friend. Not I, our business. This week is a week of order, stability. Nothing must, in fact, we had to place everything in order to make sure everything was in alignment. But the devil had a plan. Monday went well, Tuesday, everything just... But I didn't give up. God had to, you know... He said, I am faithful. You can bear it, son. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Okay. He said, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. He said, the God of all comfort. He didn't say the God of some comfort. The God of all comfort. He said, who comforted us in all our tribulation. He didn't say some. Please take note of these silent words. That we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So I want to tell you, this struggle is not for you. The struggle is not for you. Because most times when you reach out to... I'm a born counselor. But I have faced a struggle that I don't understand where these struggles are coming from. And somebody told me in this church. The person is looking at me. But don't look. Just smile. Just, if you smile, they will know you're the one. Just look straight. Look straight. I promise I'm not going to expose you. The person told me one day. He was laughing. He was laughing. He said, he saw me. He said, even the comforter needs comfort. I laughed. And I held on to that word. He said, even the comforter needs comfort. So I'm a born counselor. I can counsel. As in, I can even be on my bed lying down. I'm talking to you. I'm just counseling you. And we are just talking. It's a therapeutic form of healing. Healing without the use of drug. Or you just come. You lie down on the couch. If I'm tired, I lie down. And we just keep talking. And you just be talking things that are bottled up and you get... So, most times when you encourage people, you reach down deep into yourself, your spirit, and you bring out something and you unleash it on them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I say the struggle is not for you. Turn to somebody and say, this struggle is not for you. This struggle is not for you. This struggle is not for you. Let me round up with this. I wrote this. I said, let me tell you how much strength you have. You've got. Because when you encourage other people, you reach down on your inside and take stops to bless them. Hallelujah. 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 Please say to somebody, I'm too connected to be frustrated. Say to somebody, I'm too connected to be frustrated. Say to another person, I'm too fortified to fail. Say to the next person, I'm too defended to be a victim.
Father, thank you for your word in Jesus' name.